Thank you, Patrick, for bringing us our gospel. It's not a long one, but it's a very powerful text. There's a lot going on in here. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Some of you know that during the pandemic, I have gotten into the Lord of the Rings. I mean, really deep into the Lord of the Rings. Like one day, like Jim, I plan on going to New Zealand to walk Middle Earth, where Lord of the Rings was filmed. I've read all the books twice. I've watched all the movies several times, even managed to get through all three Hobbit movies, which is a commitment. And from this epic and timeless story, I'm always struck by a particular moment that comes from the Fellowship of the Ring. It happens in the city of Rivendell. Frodo and his companions have just carried this mysterious ring which has attracted all sorts of evil that has pursued and chased them. And at a special council meeting, the truth about the ring is revealed. This is the one ring, the ring of power. And if it were in the wrong hands, it would destroy Middle Earth. It is decided that it must be destroyed. But who will take it to Mount Doom, the only place that could destroy it? Who will risk life and limb to do what must be done? Who will accept the burden on behalf of the well-being of everyone? I will take it. Frodo, this meager hobbit, steps forward and says, I will take this ring to Mordor. It's his calling. Frodo must continue to carry it and see it through. He must carry it even though it will surely bring suffering and dangers known and unknown. Many great stories have this figure, this hero risking everything for good to prevail, risking everything so that the world is a better and safer place. And don't we want to be like them? We want to have that courage and that bravery. I wish I was a little bit more like Frodo Baggins, or the Luke Skywalkers, or the Leia Organas, or the Harry Potters. But sadly, I'm more like Samwise Gamgee, Frodo's much-beloved friend, who would rather be in the garden or cooking in the kitchen. He doesn't feel the call as strong as Frodo, and he really has no interest in risking his life or putting himself out there. He believes in doing good for others, but isn't there someone else that can do all that big adventurous stuff? Someone who isn't a simple hobbit who has never left the Shire? However, Frodo must go. He must face the challenges ahead. And while Sam struggles internally what to do, he goes with Frodo. Their relationship is worth it. But he does so a little reluctantly. It's not easy to watch a loved one go down a path that will bring pain and challenges, either by choice or circumstance. Dropping my kids off at daycare for the first time was not easy. They could get hurt. There could be bullies. They could be the bullies, and I wouldn't be there to guide them through it. And still, weekly, they get hurt. Someone pushes them, or they push someone else. It's out of my hands. No amount of helicopter parenting will prevent me from the very real pain that they will experience away from me. And many of us have experienced that with our children. As spouses and parents and grandparents get older, we worry about their health and their memory and their pain. We too want to be able to take all that away from them, tell them that it's going to be fine, but they have a journey that they must walk. Our bodies don't last forever. Ash Wednesday reminds us of that. Now it comes with grace. It comes with the promise of abundant love. It comes with a God whose steadfast love for us will follow us into the pit of despair and into the grave and will birth us to new life. But when we are in the thick of life, that promise can ring pretty hollow, which does not make it any less true. But when the threat is real, when the pain is real, when the risk is real, it's hard to hear the promises and believe them. The gospel writers couldn't be more clear about Jesus' quest to bring about the goodness of the kingdom of God. Jesus saw people no one would see. He spoke to those no one would speak to. He touched those that no one would touch. He disrupted the way things had been done. And on behalf of those who needed bread and healing and need of community, Jesus puts himself between them and those who long for just the status quo, which is not popular. In his hometown of Nazareth, people wanted to hurl him off a cliff. Pharisees, religious leaders in town, conspired a plot to get rid of Jesus. He is put through religious tests to see if he fits their nice box for their day. A group of Pharisees even tell Jesus that Herod wants to kill him. In fact, he begins his public ministry after the brutal beheading of his mentor, John the Baptist. The road Jesus must go is dangerous. And it grows more dangerous as more crowds come out to see him, as palms begin to wave in the air, as people really have hope around him. It gets more dangerous for Jesus. And so our scripture begins with, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Jesus tells them that he will be raised, but when that pain is real, the risk is real, and the threat is real, it's really hard to hear that hope and that promise. And so Peter takes Jesus aside, and the rock of the church becomes a stumbling rock for Jesus. He rebukes Jesus. How could you say that you will suffer? How can you say that you'll be killed? And since the beginning, Jesus has had to endure these plots, these threats and dangers. It's the path the Christ must follow. But as a follower of Christ, Peter doesn't want to hear it. As followers of Christ, we may not want to hear it. The gospel is good news, but it's not popular news. If we choose to live it, if we choose to see those no one else sees, to advocate for those no one advocates for, to welcome those that no one else will welcome, we too must accept that it comes with risks and, yes, suffering. Peter and Samwise Gamgee have a lot in common. If it was not for Peter's love of Jesus, he probably would have went back home fishing. If it was not for Peter's faith in Jesus, he would have still done good in the world, but he would not have endured the challenges and, yes, even suffering that forged him into a resilient and inspirational witness to the love of God through Christ. Peter does not turn back in that reality, but he stays. Reluctantly, but he stays. He will stay He will get his feet washed by Jesus. He will experience Jesus' betrayal. He will watch Jesus being taken by Roman soldiers. He will hear the horrific news of the crucifixion. He will learn that a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, took his body and placed it in a tomb. He will be with other disciples, feeling the anguish and despair and shame when the sound of running feet get closer and closer and stop at the door. And Mary Magdalene opens it to tell them the news that Jesus is alive. He will encounter the risen Christ. He will remember in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the wine, and with the risen Christ, he will continue this work of the kingdom of God, and he will live it boldly. He will continue this ministry and warning, and that warning Jesus gave so long ago that we read this morning, that we really don't like to read about suffering and being killed, will be on the side of the resurrection, which is suffering and persecution and even hate never have the final word. That God has the final word. And that word is life. It's hard to accept that suffering and pain are a part of the journey for those of us that follow Christ. You could say it is the part of anyone that truly loves. But because we know God has this final word, it means that we can bear it. We can, as Jesus says, bear the cross. We can bear the crosses of others near us. We can stand by their side and really be with them in those hard moments. It means with the risen Christ, we can speak out against injustice and with courage advocate for the poor and marginalized, and we can get in the way and disrupt systems that demean God's beloved. And as unpopular as that is, and it is, as surely as a risk that it is, and it is, through Christ Jesus, we know the wondrous love of God has the final word. Rebuke Jesus if you must. Have your doubts. But stay. Stay by him. And you will see and you will know the steadfast love on the side of resurrection. Amen. Amen. Amen.